Yimin Chen. I'm a counsel for petitioner. The issue in this case today is that whether the Board of Immigration Appeals abused its discretion in holding that the petitioner did not have a genuine claim for ineffective assistance of counsel for her motion to reopen. The petitioner came to the United States to seek political protection as the victim of forced marriage in China. She was only 19 years old and illiterate, and Mr. Nathaniel Kishar is the first counsel she ever returned for her immigration proceeding. And however, he did not advise her of the consequence to fail to attend the immigration proceeding, nor did he notify him of the consequences to file any appeal. And on her last immigration proceeding on January 31st, 2003, she called her counsel and asked for adjournment of her proceeding because she had a stomachache. However, instead, the counsel just told the immigration judge that she was afraid to come. And as a result, the petitioner was ordered removal in absentia. And after that, the counsel did not notify the petitioner of her right to appeal. As a result, she lost that right. And then, because she was represented by the counsel in her initial immigration proceeding, the fact that she received the notice of hearing and the submission of the change of address form did not mean that he was adequately notified of the consequences of the meeting in those immigration papers. And then after the proceeding, a few years later, the petitioner returned another company, the Lina International Inc. of Immigration, of Laws and Immigration Service Company, which pretend to be an attorney and promised to reopen the case for her. However, it turned out that this company only do the motion for her as a notary, but I definitely did not know. And the lamely notary company made in the motion to reopen stated that the petitioner was afraid of, was not notified to come to the immigration hearing, but which not actually stated in her own affidavit. So, as a matter of fact, that's basically law cannot be used against the petitioner. The government basically relied on three reasons to challenge the credibility of the petitioner claim for effective assistance of counsel. First, that's just the word. We rely on the word of the first counsel. However, it's unreasonable for the board to just credit the counsel's testimony over the petitioner's testimony without a proper hearing. Second, the service of the notice paper and the submission of the change of address form did not say that the petitioner was adequately notified. The receipt of the notice is basically different from the adequacy of the notice. And third, the motion of the petitioner, the first motion of the petitioner is not prepared by a real attorney. It's kind of skeptical that this is just a scam. So petitioner should not be harmed by this scammed operation of this company. That's my argument. Okay. Thank you, Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. Ms. Iverson?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Julie Iverson, and I represent the United States Attorney General. This petition for review should be denied because Ms. Wong has failed to show that the agency abused its discretion by denying Ms. Wong's motion to reopen. Here we have a case where Ms. Wong had a hearing for asylum scheduled on January 31st, 2003, and she did not attend the hearing. Her counsel, however, did attend the hearing, and when asked why Ms. Wong was not present, he said that she was fully aware of the hearing, but she was afraid to attend because Department of Homeland Security could detain her. 3 years later, Ms. Huang does not appeal this decision. 3 years later, she files a motion to reopen with the immigration court, and she changes her story. She says she never had any notice of that hearing. This motion was denied. 2 months later, she says she did have notice of the hearing, but that she was afraid to attend because she did not want to be detained by Homeland Security. She did not appeal. She did not file a petition for review of that of the agency's denial of that motion to reopen. Subsequently, she changes her story again and says that she received ineffective assistance of counsel because she called her counsel and she told him that she had a stomach ache.
Is she in custody now?
Your Honor, no, she is not.
But so if we affirm the board, she'll just ignore it, right? I mean, is that the pattern we're hearing about?
Your Honor,
they don't actually have people in custody. They just don't pay any attention.
Your Honor, this particular petitioner has a history of ignoring her final orders of removal.
Just a certain futility to these judicial proceedings.
Well, Your Honor, as my colleague stated earlier, there's a limited amount of resources that the Department of Homeland Security has, and how they choose to allocate those resources, they have to prioritize some way. If Ms. Huang does choose to ignore the final order again, then she's still subject to removal, and the Department of Homeland Security can execute that removal order. But here, basically, the Board of Immigration Appeals did not abuse its discretion by denying this motion to reopen, where Ms. Huang failed to demonstrate any ineffective assistance by her former counsel. To the extent that Ms. Huang's current attorney says that she was 19 when she came into the country, she was 22 when she missed her hearing. She had been here for 3 years, and she was 26 years old when she filed the first motion to reopen, and she's responsible for what she asserts to the agency.
Do you see any legal issue kicking around in this case that would get past the jurisdictional bar?
Your Honor, I am afraid I'm not aware of the recent case issued by this court on Monday.
It says there's no jurisdiction to review motions to reopen. It's pretty clear.
Your Honor, if that's then there would seem that there is a jurisdictional bar to this case, where
the only exception is the one in the statute, which is for questions of law and constitutional claims, and that's why I asked: is there any such claim present in this case? I don't see it.
Your Honor, having not read that case, but from what this court has represented this morning, it would seem that there would be no jurisdiction in that case over a motion to reopen where the board denied it in the matter of discretion, and there's been no legal issue presented. If there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Iverson. So, Ms. Chen, how much time does she have? 1 minute. Do you have anything further, Ms. Chen? Okay. Well, thank you very much to both counsel. And the court is now going to take a very brief recess before we hear our fifth case.